Blog Talk Radio.
Two stonecutters were asked what they were doing. The first one said, "I'm cutting this stone into blocks." And the second one replied, "I'm on a team that's building a synagogue."
You're listening to the Goldstein on Geld Show with financial expert Douglas Goldstein. This show is designed to give general information related to investing and finance. Neither Doug Goldstein, his guests, nor the radio station are rendering legal, tax, insurance, or specific financial advice. If you require such advice, contact a competent professional advisor. Before making any investment decisions based on what you heard during the show, please review the complete disclaimer located at www.goldsteinongeld.com. And now, here's your host, Money Maven, Doug Goldstein.
Good Money Monday. I'm Doug Goldstein. Thanks so much for joining me. Do you ever wonder who you are accountable to or who's accountable to you? So I had an interesting conversation recently with a client, and frankly, I left the conversation a little bit disturbed. The client had a number of bonds that matured in her portfolio, so there was a lot of cash available, and we were talking about what to do with it. And so she said, "Well, I'd like to invest in risky things to try and make the money grow. Could you send me prospectuses for all of the mutual funds that are available so I can look through them?" So I said, "You want prospectuses for all of the mutual funds that are available? There's thousands that are available. So we have to begin to narrow it down." And then I said, "What kind of risk do you want? And what do you mean by long term?" And I could tell from her answers that she didn't really know what she was talking about. And I could also sort of hear, just from the way that I was asking the questions and she was answering, someone else had been telling her what to do. And it was probably one of these conversations she had on a bus. And someone said, "Oh, you should tell your advisor that you be a long-term investor and invest in the stock market because you're going to make a lot of money that way." And this person gave advice not really understanding what the client's situation is. Now, I have no problem with being a long-term investor. I also have no problem investing in the stock market. But it depends who you are and what your needs are. Now, in this case, the lady had a disabled child, and she had to deal with that child, and there was a lot of risk and didn't have a lot of income coming into the family. And so although on paper it might be perfectly fine to be a riskier investor, in real life, which is where we really have to deal, it wasn't a good idea. And so I had to slowly move her away from taking literally advice from someone who she just in passing, and it was kind of run-of-the-mill advice, in order to get her on the right track. But the problem was she then wanted to do the research. So she said, "Okay, great, let me read all the prospectuses." Now, if you haven't ever seen a mutual fund prospectus, it could be 50 or 100 or 200 pages long. And what did she mean by all of the mutual funds that were available? It was just too much. So either you have to become an expert investor on your own, or let me humbly suggest that you work with an investment advisor who can guide you a little bit and absolutely should show you the prospectuses and all the information that you want to see, but probably someone who's dealing with this all the time and who really does have your best interests in mind, probably he's going to be able to limit the amount of material to a reasonable amount. So the story was sort of sitting on my mind, and I wanted to share it with you. Just a minute, I'll share with you about who today's guests are going to be on the Goldstein on Geld Show. I'm your host, Doug Goldstein. Stay tuned.
You're tuned to Doug Goldstein's personal finance show, where you learn how to make the most of your money.
As we are nearing tax time, a lot of people are thinking about filing, and if they're running on autopilot, they're going to make some mistakes. As many of you know, the U.S. government requires for people who live outside the United States, or even people who live inside the United States, anyone who has an account outside of America, you have to file a form called an FBAR, a report of foreign bank accounts, or foreign any account for that matter. So if you live outside the United States, the odds are pretty likely that you have some foreign account with more than $10,000. In fact, if you have more than $10,000 at any point in the year, you have to file the FBAR. What are a lot of people thinking? Frankly, they're thinking, maybe it's time I give up my U.S. citizenship. It's a radical move for a lot of people, but many folks leave the United States and they don't look back. They have no intention of ever returning. So I am not advising anyone to give up his U.S. citizenship. There are plenty of benefits. However, there are plenty of disadvantages, and we can see that the number of people who are giving up their U.S. citizenship is increasing every year, probably because of those disadvantages. In fact, the number is currently at a record level. About 3,000 Americans gave up their U.S. citizenship. One of them is going to be a guest on our show, and in fact, he's a pretty famous guy. He is known, well, maybe you've heard of Jesus. This guy is known as the Bitcoin Jesus. That's his name. He has actually made millions and millions of dollars. His name is Roger Ver. And as a result of wanting to get out of the system, he had his own kind of political philosophy, which I don't want to go into, but he wanted to get out of the system and renounced his U.S. citizenship, and as a result had huge numbers of huge problem with it, many problems. And so it's been written up, and I wanted to bring him onto the show because I think a lot of our listeners sometimes toy with the idea. And again, maybe there's a financial reason to do it, but there's a lot more reasons to do things than just money. And I want to explore that with Roger Ver in the first half of the Goldstein on Geld show. And then in the second half of the show, I want to talk about accountability. I'll be bringing on a guy named Sam Silverstein, who teaches in some of the biggest companies in the world about how to increase the feeling of accountability. He talks to people about why you can't just force someone, well, you can, but you don't get optimal results when you force someone to do things. But if you can make a person really feel accountable, then hopefully he's going to want to impress you and he'll want to do a good job. And Sam will talk to us about that in part two of the Goldstein on Geld show. So stay tuned. In just a minute, I'll be bringing on the Bitcoin Jesus.
You can get Doug's comprehensive guide to retirement planning called The Retirement Planning Book at Amazon or download the free ebook version at www.profile-financial.com.
Okay, we are back. I'm very happy to have on the Goldstein on Geld show Roger Ver, who is one of the major founders of Bitcoin, although no one really knows who the founder is. But the important thing is that Roger has been at the forefront of making it very famous. And one of the things he's also famous for is having taken citizenship in a country outside the United States and turning in his U.S. passport. But there's a real big story behind that, which is important for all of us to learn. Roger, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
I was born and raised in Silicon Valley. I started a tech company there back in the late 1990s and was the owner and CEO of that for the last 15 years until I discovered Bitcoin, and then I jumped in full feet with Bitcoin. But I actually, philosophically, I'm a libertarian and said some things that the U.S. government didn't like, and I wound up serving a 10-month prison sentence in the U.S. for basically things that I said rather than anything that I had actually done. And then the moment my probation ended, I left the country, and I've been living in Japan ever since, and recently actually formally renounced my U.S. citizenship. So a little bit of a colored background there, I suppose.
All right. So what was the process of giving up your U.S. citizenship?
The hardest part is getting citizenship somewhere else. And Japan is one of the strictest countries in the world in regards to that. So I wasn't able to get citizenship in Japan, even though I'd been living there for nearly the last decade. But I was able to get citizenship in a country called St. Kitts, which is an island in the Caribbean. Wonderful, wonderful place with lots of nice, friendly people. And I'm incredibly grateful for them to allow me to become a citizen there.
So how did you actually tell the United States that you no longer wanted their passport?
So there's a whole process that you kind of have to go through there, and I'm on the very, very final stages of paying my exit tax to be 100% done. But the main thing that happens is you have to go in for an interview, and the worker at the embassy will caution you, and he says, did you know that if you renounce your U.S. citizenship, you're not going to be allowed to vote? And philosophically, I'm opposed to voting, but I haven't been allowed to vote since I've been a felon for the last 10 years anyhow. So that was certainly a non-issue for me. And then another thing he told me, said, did you know if you renounce your U.S. citizenship, you won't be allowed to serve in the armed forces? And I knew from a very young age, I would rather go to prison than serve in the armed forces. I have absolutely no desire to serve in any military for any country in the world, anywhere, ever. So the drawbacks weren't particularly big. But then they made me have another 1 week cooling off period to make sure that I really wanted to do it, even though it's something that I had been planning for close to a decade, actually. And then sure enough, a week later, after the cooling off period, I still wanted to do the same thing. So then they signed my paperwork, and then it took another 9 months or something for it to go to Washington, D.C. and be approved by somebody else. And then eventually they send you what's called a certificate of loss of nationality, which is basically a form proving that you are no longer American. So I'm very happy to have that in hand today.
So tell me about the exit tax. What did you have to pay, and how is that calculated?
So basically, my understanding is that it's calculated based on capital gains tax rates of your total net worth at the day that you announced that you actually have the interview at the embassy. So my final exit tax is coming due this April 15th, a little bit later this year. And it'll be frustrating to, it'll be annoying and sad to pay it because for the most part, I see the U.S. is spending most of the tax money on all sorts of wars all over the world and dropping bombs on people, and I'm philosophically opposed to that sort of thing. But it'll be worth paying it to have them out of my life and not have to deal with them anymore. Recently, I opened a bank account in a country outside of the U.S., and they literally had me sign a form promising that I am not an American citizen because they didn't want any American citizens opening accounts at their banks so that they don't have to deal with all the crazy rules and regulations that the U.S. is trying to impose on the entire world.
Was that a W-8 form?
I don't recall the name of the form. I don't think it was a U.S. form. I think it was just an internal form for that particular bank.
Mm-hmm. So when you went through the process, did you have expert advice to kind of walk you through it?
Yeah, I've spent a huge amount of on lawyers to help me through the whole process because it's a challenge. There's a lot to know. The U.S. government passes all sorts of laws that would be almost impossible for any one human being to ever get to even read them all, let alone understand them all. So, yeah, there's lots of lawyer fees involved as well.
As someone who travels around a lot, you certainly have benefited, I would think, by having a U.S. passport because it means just you don't have to go through the hassle a lot of times in getting visas because it seems to be accepted pretty worldwide. How has that been since you gave up the passport?
It's been absolutely fine for everywhere except for the United States because they're not following their own rules. So recently I was denied a visa to the U.S., even though I've been living outside of the U.S. for almost a decade. And went through all the trouble and effort that cost, you know, well over $1 million to renounce my U.S. citizenship. When I applied for a visa to be able to visit the U.S. for a recent conference, they denied my visa request, claiming that I have secret immigrant intent and that I somehow like plan to secretly live in the U.S. as an illegal immigrant, which is just absolutely insane for anybody that pays any attention to who I am or what I'm up to.
We're talking with Roger Ver, who's been involved in Bitcoin as a real libertarian, and as part of his philosophy, he gave up his U.S. citizenship, and it seems that it's been a little bit of a problem. Roger, you mentioned a minute ago that the U.S. themselves didn't follow their own rules. What do you mean by that?
So by their own rules, I have to prove significant ties outside of the U.S. that would motivate me to leave at the end of my trip, and I brought a whole stack of paperwork with me to the interview at the embassy, proving all my ties from the last decade to Japan. I've started a business there. I have a home and family there. Like I own cars there. Like my life is settled in. I've been there for almost a decade now. And the worker at the embassy actually refused to even let me physically slide the paperwork through the slot for them to look at. And then because I couldn't even slide it through the slot for them to look at, they tried to claim that I hadn't provided any proof of ties outside of the U.S. so that they denied my visa. But of course, they don't know of any of my ties outside of the U.S. They physically refuse to even look at it, which is just insanity. That's like the sort of game that a five-year-old plays, not, you know, someone that you would expect to be a professional at the U.S. Embassy.
So when you decided to do this, what did your family think?
My family's incredibly supportive, and they're happy as long as I'm happy. And so whatever I want to do in life, as long as it makes me happy, my family's right there behind me supporting me.
Got it. So let's go a little bit more through the dealings of how to get back into America. Based on the rather immature way that the clerk acted, do you have any hope that you will be able to come to the United States just for business meetings?
Yeah, I think at some point I'll be able to be approved for a visa. Maybe I just was unlucky and had a bunch of an embassy worker with an extra bad attitude. But I plan to try again here in another month or so when I get back to Japan. I'm currently in London at the moment for some other business meetings.
So in principle, it's not that someone giving up his U.S. passport is giving up his opportunity to get back into the United States, or do you think that they do it to spite people who turn their back on America?
Yeah, I think if you just kind of quietly go about your business and renounce, you're probably not going to have too much of a trouble getting a visa to come back in. I've been very, very vocal about my displeasure with the things the U.S. government's doing, and they're bombing people all around the world. And I've been, I've donated a bunch of money to antiwar.com, and I've been a little bit of a thorn in their side, speaking out against all the people that they're murdering all over the world. So So maybe they give me a little bit more trouble than they do to the average person that just renounces and applies for a visa. But even with all the things that I've been doing, I'm pretty confident at some point I'll be approved for a visa.
And at this point, do you have anything to do with FBAR or FATCA? Are those rules relevant to you?
No, I'm not a U.S. citizen anymore at this point. So I still owe the U.S. some additional taxes. But once I finish paying all that, I'm kind of free and clear at that point, so long as none of my income is being derived from inside the U.S. either.
Are you allowed to have investments in America?
I am, but I would have to pay taxes on any of the income earned from the investments inside of the U.S., is my understanding.
So, for example, if you wanted to have a U.S. brokerage account with stocks and bonds or mutual funds, anything like that, that would be something that's still available to you?
My understanding is, yeah, but I'm much more interested in Bitcoin things at this point than that sort of stuff.
And how about pensions? Did you work in the States long enough, for example, to be entitled to eventually receive Social Security?
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting. Maybe 6 months after I had renounced my U.S. citizenship, the Social Security office sent me a letter in the mail outlining that I had paid right around $300,000 total in Social Security taxes during my working career, and then calculating out how much they're going to pay me. So I sent them a message on Twitter and said, hey, am I going to get any percentage of this back now that I've renounced my U.S. citizenship and no longer qualify for any of that? And of course, they didn't reply. But not that I expected to actually be able to collect any of that, even if I had continued to be a U.S. citizen. I think that whole Ponzi scheme is going to go bankrupt before I turn 65.
All right, which is definitely a possibility. People talk about that. Did your accountants or lawyers who helped you with the giving up the citizenship tell you that you would not be entitled to it, or is that just your feeling that you think they'll just cut you off?
It was kind of my understanding. I didn't ask specifically. I'm still young enough where I have the majority of my working career ahead of me, so I figured I'd be able to do better than Social Security would certainly be able to do for me.
So if you were speaking to people who also basically live outside the United States, would you advise them to give up their U.S. citizenship?
The short answer is it depends. If you have no intention of ever moving back to the U.S. ever again to live full time, then my advice would be, yeah, give it up as soon as possible, because they're making it more and more difficult to give it up as time goes by.
And the hardest thing you said about it was getting a different citizenship.
Right. For me, that was the hardest thing about it. But if you already have dual citizenship or citizenship somewhere else and you don't ever plan to live in the U.S. again, then, yeah, there's no reason to not give up your U.S. passport. Otherwise, they're just going to be a thorn in your side the rest of your life, no matter where you live on the planet.
Wow, amazing. Fascinating story. Roger, we're just about out of time, but first of all, I want to thank you. Hearing how someone walked through the whole process of giving up a citizenship, I think, is very important, because there literally are millions of Americans who live outside the U.S. They really don't have an intention of going back, and yet they're constantly not being able to open bank accounts because they have a U.S. citizenship, either in the U.S. because now they have a foreign address, or outside the U.S. because they're U.S. citizens. So it's a lose-lose situation. So I'm glad to hear what happened to you. It doesn't, frankly, sound like a smooth ride, so I think a lot of people still have a lot to worry about. But tell me, in the last few seconds, how can people follow you or follow your story, or where do you recommend people learn about some of your ideas?
Sure. You can follow me at rogervere.com. And if you haven't already gotten involved in Bitcoin or read about Bitcoin, head on over to bitcoin.org. It truly is the most important invention in the history of the world since the internet. It's going to change the lives of every single person on the planet. So that's bitcoin.org.
Roger Ver, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Doug.
Learn about investing from money maven Doug Goldstein at goldsteinongelt.com. And follow Doug on Twitter at Doug Goldstein.
It's amazing to speak to someone, I find, who publicly talks about giving up his U.S. citizenship. You know that the United States Treasury actually publishes a list of the people who gave up their citizenship. I was looking at some of the information. In 2012, 932 people gave up their citizenship. But in 2013, 2,999 Americans gave up their U.S. citizenship. That's an increase of 221%. It's huge. What's going on here? What is making this trend so that people don't want to be U.S. citizens? It used to be considered the greatest passport you could have, and having traveled in several countries, I can tell you it certainly is convenient. But one of the things that's interesting, and Roger pointed out, is you can travel on many, many passports around the United States. A couple of years ago, if you remember, one of the Facebook founders, Eduardo Saverin, he decided to give up his U.S. citizenship, which he didn't have his whole life. He actually got it, and then he gave up on it. And it was a huge backlash. In fact, some senators wanted to double the exit tax to 30% for anyone who left the U.S. for tax reasons, which is possibly the reason that Eduardo Saverin left the United States. I'm not exactly sure why most citizens leave the U.S. I don't know if there have been any really in-depth studies. A lot of them leave just for family and convenience. Many of them do leave, I think, because the complex and costly tax architecture that is getting worse is making people not want the responsibility. You know, if you're a U.S. citizen and you improperly file an FBAR, which in fact can be very complicated, and I can tell you because I've done them myself, this is the report of foreign bank accounts. It's not always clear what you have to report, and so you have to deal with specialist accountants who charge a lot, and I don't begrudge them because they're dealing in a specialized sector of tax law. But, you know, for someone maybe who's not super wealthy, it's not reasonable for him to have to pay so much money to file a tax return. It's funny. In fact, you know, if you've ever filed your own tax returns, it tells you often how many hours it'll take to file a return. And, you know, it should be a few hours to file something. And I saw recently on one of these, it was something that the note from the IRS said, this document will take you, on average, 35 hours to complete. And I was thinking, this is just ridiculous. You know, you shouldn't have to be, if you're just a normal person living in another country, you shouldn't be penalized by having to deal with this. And by the way, the penalties are even worse because a lot of banks, you know, that over 70 countries, including in Russia, in China, have had their banks and financial institutions sign on with the United States to turn over the names of all of the U.S. citizens who have accounts there. So basically, these banks and brokerage firms are part of the IRS enforcement team, and they don't like it. They have nothing to do with America, except now they're being forced to give the information to the United States. And a lot of them, what they're doing is they're simply turning away U.S. clients. You come in, you want to open an account, they'll ask you if you have a U.S. passport, and if you say yes, then they will not open the account for you. So it's very, very difficult, and I do understand why people would give up their U.S. citizenship. Once again, I'm not an America basher. I love the country, and I'm very happy that I am part of it, and I've been there, and I grew up there, and I got a lot. I'm not the guy who's telling you that America is the problem, but I do see the problems that people have, and it was really interesting to talk to Roger Ver about his problems. All right, so let's talk about part two. Next half of the show, I'll be bringing on Sam Silverstein talking about accountability. See you in just a minute.
You're listening to Money Maven Doug Goldstein on the Goldstein on Geld Show. Stay tuned for the second half of the show right after the break.